KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's clear and 50 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly to mostly sunny today with a high around 82 and winds out of the north at about 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents in Elkhorn. See Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated, or call 712-764-6000. The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Bryant Rasmussen Monday evening told the Parks and Rec Board damage by a vandal or vandals inflicted on the restrooms at Sunnyside Park and elsewhere exceeded $1,200, not counting the labor necessary to clean up the mess. Rasmussen said he first found out about the damage last Saturday morning from a person who made a shelter reservation for Saturday night and who wanted to make sure the facilities were clean and ready to use.
They ripped off all of the paper towel holders, soap dispensers. They ripped open the toilet paper holders, but they didn't take the toilet paper. They just ripped it open.
They even left feces on the floor. Rasmussen and his staff spent about 2 to 3 hours at the Camlin Edition and Kitty Corral restrooms at Sunnyside before moving on and discovering the waterless restroom at the Schulberg Recreation Area had been destroyed, including the wall heater, which in and of itself cost $1,200.
The heater that was on the wall that we try and in the wintertime, we can at least turn the heat on low so we can leave a bathroom open for people that are still walking out there. It was shoved down into the crack. The toilet was flipped upside down, and then the seat was obviously broken off of it. So we have that one locked up right now just because it's not usable.
Only the bathhouse was left alone. Other damage included toilets being plugged up by toilet paper and a rubber stopper in an attempt to flood all the bathrooms at Sunnyside. Rasmussen said they'd like to be able to get Wi-Fi cameras installed, but Nishnanet is currently busy with the Atlantic School District's Return to Learn Wi-Fi project. He said in the interim, 4 trail cameras have been ordered and 2 more have been donated. They'll be connected via an app and Bluetooth. The information then can be downloaded on the app, and those cameras have infrared sensors, so the location is not given away by a flash once they're tripped. And it's hoped that they will be installed later this week. Exterior restroom lighting will also help to shed more light on persons who enter the facilities, and the insides are lit by motion sensors. The restrooms had been closed over the weekend for a while, but have since reopened. Only the tennis court restrooms are closed, but it's not related to vandalism. Rasmussen said that issue is instead with a leak in the parking lot. They're attempting to find the source of that issue. Travis Garrett, who served as the Atlantic Parks and Rec Director from about 2008 to 2011, spoke at the meeting Monday evening, and he mentioned as a citizen and disc golf enthusiast, they were holding a golf tournament last weekend and were disheartened to see the restrooms locked up, but everyone understood why once they learned of the damage.
As a former park director, I've been in Bryant's seat before. I've dealt with these issues before, and honestly, it really is challenging. It's really hard to come up with a solution. We appreciate what we have out there. We really take offense when things like that happen. Anything that the Disc Golf Club can do, we'll do what we can to help out. You definitely have our support as far as what can be done. We got to figure out something, and thank you for what you did do out there, you know, and helping clean up and taking care of it for us.
Garrett implored people to, if they see something, unusual activity going on after dark, to say something to the police department by calling their non-emergency number. In other business, Director Rasmussen said work continues to install the dock at the Schulberg Recreation Area. A new information kiosk has been installed and 3-sided enclosure to protect the trash bin has been erected. Also, the kiosk will include local menus and walkability information added for those who wish to see Atlantic's attractions on foot. And the Atlantic School Board met Monday morning via YouTube and acted on a handful of matters, including the second and final reading of the COVID-19 revised school policy. During their meeting last Wednesday, the board had passed the first reading of COVID-19 policies by a vote of 3-2. One section of the policy, as currently stated, indicates that non-medical grade face masks are encouraged to be worn by all individuals on school grounds. Masks will be provided to those who request them, and reusable masks should be washed regularly by individuals wearing them. The policy, however, does not currently mandate the use of masks. After considerable discussion Monday morning, the board finally came to an agreement on the amended policy with regard to face coverings and face shields, as read by Board Secretary Sarah Sheeter.
Social distancing will be the main priority for all district buildings. Face coverings are encouraged to be worn for students and staff in grades pre-K through 5, and expected to be worn for students and staff in grades 6 through 12 when social distancing cannot be obtained. Masks will be provided to individuals who request them. Reusable masks should be washed regularly by individuals wearing them.
Prior to the board's unanimous vote to approve the revised wording of the policy, Superintendent Steve Barber said they had received emails from staff and the public on their thoughts with regard to the use of masks, and the board expressed its appreciation for that input. Board member Laura McLean said masks are not the solution to the question of how to protect students and staff from COVID-19, but she said they are just a piece of it.
I think that when we talk about making a commitment to our staff and students to try to make a, you know, safe and healthy environment for them to do their work in, we need to look at everything we can do to try to maximize that. I think we all agree we want to do in-person learning, and that means minimizing the amount of infection. I don't think we can guarantee that no one's going to get COVID this whole school year and no one's going to expose other people, but I think we need to do what we can to try to minimize exposure for everybody.
You can read more about the school board transactions that occurred on Monday morning on the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. In our funeral announcements, Janie Adams, age 65 of Des Moines and formerly of Fontenelle, died August 9th. Funeral services for Janie Adams will be today at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle with limited seating due to COVID-19. Judy Marie Bornholt, age 77, of Elkhorn, died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Judy Bornholt will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Terry Charles Goers, age 68, of Defiance, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial for Terrence Terry Goers will be held 11 a.m. Thursday at the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Deb Baker, age 60, of Atlantic, died Sunday in Council Bluffs. A celebration of life memorial service for Deb Baker will be Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Lewis United Congregational Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Catherine Havens, age 79, of Wyota, died Sunday in Creston. A massive Christian burial for Catherine Havens will be Friday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Bob Hengelman, age 78, of Manning, died March 21st at his home. Memorial services for Bob Hengelman will be this Saturday at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Arden Leroy Grieshaber, age 71, of Cumberland, died April 7th. A celebration of life for Leroy Grieshaber will be Saturday at 10:30 at St. Timothy's Catholic Church in Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Roger Ewert, age 78, of Harlan, died August the 3rd. A memorial service for Roger Ewert will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Ron Lee Wasson, age 75, of Linden, died Monday at his home. A celebration of life for Ron Wasson will be this Saturday from 4 until 8 at the Linden Community Building. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. Lorraine Bintner, age 87, of Exira, died Sunday. A private family mass of Christian burial for Lorraine Bintner will be held at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Ralph Akers, age 65, of Murray, died Monday. Services for Ralph Akers are currently pending at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Oneida. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Oneida, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.